Okay, look intently at me. The eyes are intently upon him. I want you to come back with me in a couple of weeks to understand the context of what the scripture is, because every week we're given a little, what we call a pericope, a little section of the gospel. And sometimes you don't understand it within the context of what the fuller picture is, although I'm sure people at Corpus Christi do. But you see, it's important to understand how this all evolves, because it's a pattern for our lives. What happens in Jesus' life is to happen in our life. He's the pattern, the blueprint for us. So we're all part of this great mystery and share in the same one spirit. The same spirit that was in Jesus is in us. We share that same spirit. But let's go back. He was baptized, right, a couple of weeks ago, if you can remember. We were told of his baptism. He had this wonderful experience. It's described differently in the Gospels, but it was an unbelievable experience of the divine in his life. And he, as many scholars would tell us, this is when he discovered his mission, who he was, what his identity was. And he heard the words, "You are my beloved son, in you I am well pleased." And so he heard that. And then we're told that he goes out into the desert, and he's tempted in the desert. He's tempted with power and glory. And now, after that experience, he comes back, we're told, in the power of the Spirit today in the gospel to his hometown, in the power of that same Spirit. And what he does is he opens the scroll of Isaiah, and he says, and he reads it, and he says, "This is my mission. This is why God sent me into the world." Was to fulfill that prophecy of Isaiah. It's a message, if you don't know, of liberation and freedom. And anyways, so he comes back, right? I want to talk about the same thing is supposed to happen to us as to him. Any spiritual, religious experiences we have in our lives, they entail or should entail a shift in our consciousness, in which we realize that we are all grounded in a transcendent reality. That this God is not a God out there, up there. That God is dead. That theistic God no longer exists. We understand that this God, we live and move and have our being, as St. Paul would say, in this God. And that this God is the ground of all being. Paul Tillich, a great theologian of the last century, a Protestant theologian, called God the ground of being. So we understand that we have this experience of this transcendent reality, that we're part of something much larger than ourselves, much greater than ourselves, that is upholding us, sustaining us, and evolving us into greater consciousness and greater life. In the case of Jesus, this realization is expressed in the historical symbolism of the baptism, if you can remember, of the heavens were splitting, the dove was descending, and the voice was saying, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." These are historical symbols. So, however, it is only after one has a religious experience, and it ends, of course, it ends, and consciousness shifts back to the mundane, back to regular life, so to speak. And we notice that the experience did not come with a complete set of instructions. Okay, well, what am I going to do? I have this experience of this wonderful God. In the case of Jesus, the Spirit remained with him, but it needed to lead him into other experiences to complete what he had experienced in that prayer experience at baptism. It led him into the temptations for further clarity about his identity, and back to Nazareth to publicly read the prophecy that would clarify who he was and what his mission was. So we see in the life of Jesus that temptations in homecoming were much needed for him to deepen his knowledge of that experience, of the ripped heavens, of the dove and of the voice. His religious experience that he had, of the divine in his life. My brothers and sisters, this is a classic pattern of how spiritual and religious experiences unfold. It's classic in his life and in our lives. It begins with consciousness of our eternal grounding in God, our knowing that we live and move and have our being in God, that we are God's beloved, and that we're grounded in that as Jesus was. And then that we become aware that this grounding, who we truly are objectively, not our false selves that we project out there, our ego, but our true self, as it's often talked about today, is grounded in this unconditional love. It's unconditional, see? It's not based on any conditions. God doesn't choose you because something about you is God is attracted to. No. Or because you're, you know, born in the United States or that you're a Catholic or whatever. No, 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 there's no conditions. And because there's no conditions, we interpret this experience in this ground of being as love. It's got to be truly love is what it is. But when consciousness returns to the rough and tumble of everyday life, you do not know how to translate the experience into our conflicted minds and into our concrete decision-making processes. So in the context of it, deepening spiritual knowledge entails discovering the path, as we see in Jesus, from the experience, the transcendental identity, to the historical situation, to history. And how do I live my life? So to be more concrete, a person may have a profound, profound awareness of communion with ultimate reality. We call it God. And this awareness may be triggered, most of all, by nature. Most people are nature mystics. Or it could be triggered by the death of a child or birth of a child. More likely a birth of a child than a death. But it could be triggered by the love of a man or a woman. It could be triggered by the quest for scientific truth, as we're seeing with scientists these days. They're coming to understand. Unbelievably, they're more religious than theologians and most people, it seems like. But anyhow, it could be triggered by compassionate protest on behalf of the poor and the oppressed. It doesn't matter. In and through these events or activities, what's happening is that God is breaks into the consciousness, and God grasps us. Okay. But this depth experience is fleeting. Most of us can't live within unitive consciousness all the time. Ordinary consciousness, not of the source, but of work, everyday work, our family duties, our ministries, our finances. This is what grabs our consciousness and attention most of the time, unless we take time out to meditate and to pray and to deepen that experience that we have. So how will the spirit of this religious experience be courted and pursued in our life? How will, you know, will we test out its meaning with other ideas? Will we consult holy texts, sacred texts? If you do, you find that your experience is deepened, and the experience will grow in significance in your life. So the meaning, the implications of the experience will be deepened. The spirit of the experience wants this to happen in our lives. But the thing is this, and I'll end with this. You and I have to make it happen. You and I have to respond to God's grace. God's grace, as we know, is freely given to everyone. But it's up to every person for themselves to respond to that grace and to grow up and to mature and to become enlightened, if you will. Many people today, and you can come at this many different directions, but many people today are discovering this God within themselves who has been there guiding them, prompting them, all along been there with them and as they sought what is right and just and good and beautiful in their lives. That it was really God that was moving them and inspiring them to want this, to want the more. God put that in you. God put the more in you, wanting more. We all want more. That's what God planted in all of us. And what we're finding out today, more and more people at least, and you've heard it before, I'm sure, is that that which we are seeking is really seeking us. It's the absolute reverse. We think we're doing the seeking of God in our lives, when in fact it's God who's doing the seeking of us. Regardless of which way you experience God, the holy, the mystery, that which is the source of all that is. Like Jesus, we're called to mission. We have to figure out what it is in our life that God wants us to do and how our gifts will make up the body of Christ and serve Christ's body, because we're all part of the body of Christ. Jesus, as I said, is the model, the blueprint, and the way. First comes the experience, the consciousness of who I truly am in God and God in me, that my true self is God, actually. Not my false self and ego, but my true self. Then we follow the lead of the Spirit, and we allow the Spirit to reveal what it is you have to do in this life. And I can tell you what it is, because it's the same thing that Jesus had to do. And that is, your mission is God's mission. Everyone's mission is God's mission. The church doesn't have a mission. God has a mission. It's all God's mission. And that is to bring, as Jesus says, liberty and sight and good news that will change people's lives. Today's scripture are being fulfilled, but not in your hearing. But these scriptures will be fulfilled in your doing.